Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back, second half. At the Races, Wednesday of Derby week. As we discussed with Darren Rogers on Monday, we still need to cover last. Boy, oh my God, it's last what already? Last Wednesday? No.
Yeah, time's flying.
Holy cow.
Week.
Oh my God.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It's ridiculous. And we still have to come up with a name for Werby. We're going to go with Werby. This is one of the most anticipated visits. The invocation, the invocation is important and all, but it's not as important as Davis's visit, because if you don't like Davis Rogers Derby opinion, then you don't like money. Big D, little D. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I'm watching you. I'm watching from afar. I watch those games on the your baseball games on the feed, and I do some analysis of your golf swing from afar. And what else? Basketball. What aren't you playing?
I'm not playing football.
That's good. Smart.
Yeah,
don't play. You'll end up. You'll.
I don't want to get hurt.
Well, forget about getting hurt now. It's when you're 55 years old and your knees ache and your back and you're taking the right attitude. I agree.
But, like your big dad.
Yeah.
Well, you're a broke down horse player, so you qualify on all those counts. Last year, we felt terrible for you because it was one of the things that we were talking about in the spring. You know, Derby gets postponed, but you were in the midst of right.
I didn't get to finish my eighth grade year.
Yeah, and you had
had to start my freshman year online. It was just I mean, at least we're back now, but.
Yeah, but how many days are you back?
Only 2 days a week.
So what are you running wild? What are you doing the rest of the week?
We just do work at school, basically. I mean, we learn every so often. They teach us.
Isn't that great, Dad?
I mean, we just do work, basically. I mean, they teach us to it every so often. They, like, run us through the motions, and then they send us off. They're like, okay, do this.
Yeah, what kind of student are you? What kind of grades do you get?
Oh, I mean, I get A's.
That a boy.
I get A's and B's, so.
Honor roll?
Honor roll, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's important. Well, you
got
to build the resume. Are you starting to think of, you've got to be thinking about little college thoughts down the road? You know what?
I don't got to worry about it freshman year, you know.
You got three,
I should probably, like, start looking at some next year, but not, like, committing.
What do you want to do?
Who knows? I mean, if sports don't work out well, definitely probably like I kind of want to do like sports psychology, like learn that a little bit.
That's cool.
Become a coach.
That's very cool. That's viable.
Do business and stuff.
There you go. You could be a sports psychologist for jockeys and trainers. They're the ones who really need it because they're all nuts.
You and I have been trying to read the minds of horses for our lifetime, and we can't get in there, can we?
That's another option. That's another option, right?
Yeah.
Too funny. The baseball season, you're tearing it up. Nightly, 2-3 hits.
Tell them about last night. You at the plate.
They threw me 8 straight balls and they walked me twice because on Monday we played the same team. I was hitting the ball really good, and so
they're scared of you.
They scared of me.
That's
scared of me. Well, kid on the other team.
He's the Barry Bonds now, apparently.
Yeah, kid on the other team. Friend I played with for a travel ball a while back. Came up to my dad after the game and was like, he is smoking the ball. They were scared of him. So.
He's on a heater. He's up second in the lineup, and he's having a very good year. Very proud dad. Fun to watch.
What did you know? We obviously didn't. Last year was such a goofy derby. It was here, and it was great to be here. And we went through. I don't want to say we went through the motions, but we tried to do the best. Yeah, we did. How was your derby play in September? Well, how'd you make out? Because we didn't talk it. You
don't
remember?
I don't remember.
I don't think he was down on authentic.
That's surprising. Because you're usually Baffert catches your eye.
I really don't remember who I had last year. I know it wasn't authentic, but I...
Were you on the favorite?
No.
Tis Law?
I do not remember.
I think a lot of people.
That's the kind of derby.
I don't even remember the horses from last year.
I'm going to bring this
exactly,
full circle.
Exactly.
What we know is he didn't have the winner, and the sports psychologist in him, he's already turned the page.
Exactly.
He's forgotten about it.
Yeah, he's moved on. You got no choice.
Who we got this year? That's the question.
Yes.
I got Hot Rod Charlie.
Hot Rod Charlie.
Hot Rod Charlie. He looked really good this morning.
What? It was good to see him do anything because the last two mornings he just ponied and since arriving. And I it was kind of weird yesterday, a little disconcerting actually. Well, you know, why would he not, you know, do more than jog? But you're right.
Doug's always, you know, trained horses a little unconventional.
Well, but he went hard today.
He likes to, you know, 2 minute lick them around. You know, they're putting the watch on his horses when they're circling.
He did that this morning. He looked good. Anybody else catch your eye? What were the other ones?
I mean, Midnight Bourbon.
Midnight Bourbon
and Hot Rod Charlie were the two that I thought looked pretty good.
Nothing wrong with that pairing.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that pairing. What about Midnight Bourbon's going to be 15, 18 to 1, you would think, maybe 20 to 1, mm-hmm. The way things are shaping up. Any crazy price, long shot that, no? All right, that's
probably
all right. That's all right. Those two, you can build off those two. You can Dutch them. You can do whatever you want with that. That's fine.
What's your phrase now? I learned something new the other day. You hit the ball real hard. And you
see ball, hit ball?
No, you were crushing the pitcher, and you said I dogged him.
Oh yeah, I dogged on him. Dogged on him.
So which one of those two is gonna dog on the derby field? Is it
Hot Rod Charlie?
Hot Rod Charlie.
Hot Rod Charlie. Okay. All right. And
by the way, you and I are hip now, Steve. We've learned
something new.
Oh, okay.
Dogged on. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Don't throw me under the bus.
No. We're trying to understand the vernacular of today's youth.
It just means like
we know, talk in the mic.
Getting crapped on. I mean, it means the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you have a TikTok? That's all.
Yeah.
All right. What's your TikTok? How do people find you on TikTok?
I don't really post on TikTok.
You just watch.
I just watch.
See the silly, the crazy dancing, and
I'm on it a lot when I get bored. So
there you go. TikTok. Darren Rogers.
Snapchat, TikTok. He's mastering. By the way, he with the homeschooling, he does have a master's in the Xbox.
I have a master's degree in Xbox.
What's your best? What's your best game?
I have no idea. I'd say probably Rocket League. I'm really good at
Rocket League. All right. It's funny. That's one thing I've never done. I've never picked up a controller. Not one time.
And who in horse racing do you play with on?
Travis Stone.
Travis Stone. You want to talk about a case of arrested development? Jesus. Travis Stone. He's ridiculous. That's all he does.
Right?
Yeah.
Horses and plays Xbox.
Announces horses and bets, and that's it. Travels around
living
during
the
off season.
Living the life.
Puts together betting syndicates and is on Twitch the rest of the time. Unbelievable. I love it. Well, all right. That is not a bad pairing when it comes to an approach with Rock Your World with the Hot Rod Charlie, your Louisiana Derby winner, and so you're high on the fairgrounds avenue. All right.
He's going purely off of looks. That's
that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Odds don't faze me. I gotta look at the horses. I gotta look at a horse.
That's fine.
I can't just look at odd and say, like, oh, I'm just going to bet this horse.
For the favorite, against the favorite.
I got to get a good look at the horse before I bet on him. So.
Well done. No argument. Midnight Bourbon's going to make his way into my quad of selections. That's one thing I've made up my mind on. I don't know if I'm going to pick him on top or underneath. For you, Big D, you ready? How close are you to, you ready with some final?
I actually am not. No, I want to sit down. As you, we're going a million miles an hour, I want to really look at the post draw and the pace. You know, Rock Your World at first glance. I mean, I think he's going to have it his own way, dictate the terms. I love the way Mandaloon is training. I love the way Hot Rod Charlie looked this morning. King Fury has put in spirited gallops.
Yeah,
it might
has.
Just be too much too soon. You know, and I'll give you a real crazy goofball. Nobody, you know, this horse is going to be, it might be the longest shot on the board, but Burponic was really good in the Wood Memorial.
Sid just picked him.
It reminds me a little bit of Mind That Bird in 2009,
wow.
Where he was, you know, we all make fun of him. They made the 50-1 movie and all that stuff, but that horse got real good for a 5-week stretch. I mean, his run in the Preakness and the Belmont were very respectable, and Burponic might just be a horse that's getting real good right at the moment. And look. The Derby's always got a good pace. If he's able to put in that run, you know, he didn't close into the world's quickest pace in the Wood Memorial. I mean, the way he closed, that was a visually impressive race where you would think the race probably fell apart. I didn't take that impression. I thought he closed real well. So I will use him in my exotics underneath
at the least
at a big price. So that would be my big bomb. Burponic.
Sid was that's two visitors in a row that latched on. That's interesting. And what about Oaks?
Malatat. I think Malatat's a future star.
She might even make the case that already has starred.
Yeah, no, she already is. But no, I'm expecting a big effort.
The rest of the 2 days, now that all the racing office has done their work, everybody can relax. Certainly got to be pleased, you know, Fields and the way, you know, the way the slate's laid out.
And more, you know, we've got rain in the forecast later today and all day tomorrow. But Oaks Day looks beautiful. Derby Day looks gorgeous. And then, you know, the day after Derby, by the way, is always the Chamber of Commerce Day.
Yeah.
It's the best day of the week every year. But it all looks, the weather looks very promising. I think we're going to have a fun time. And, you know, the thing I'm most impressed with, Steve, is the vibe around here and the town. We're back.
Yeah, people are, you can tell, they're excited.
We're back. We're excited. Yeah. People are looking forward to being here and looking forward to celebrating the great tradition of this race.
No doubt. A couple of other business notes, too, to slip in. I mentioned at the start of the show, opened with some of the news of the day from yesterday. One very upbeat and wonderful, the Jim McInvale's promotion and partnership for the foster care. And involving a pre-existing relationship that Churchill enjoys with those two agencies.
Yeah, the two agencies. We've had a long-standing relationship with the Boys and Girls Club, and it's great to be able to work with a partner that's as enthusiastic as Mattress Mac. He has a very kind heart. You know, people think about, you know, Run Happy and all the sponsorship. But this is a man who has who cares about people, wants to do things. I know the foster program is very important to him with it happening within his own
family.
Family.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I just think it's a wonderful partnership, and we're very happy to team with them.
Yeah. Anything that people need to know about you know, the next 96 hours?
You know, our thoughts. I know you were going to allude to it. Donnie Richardson. Donnie was there's a lot of great stories about Donnie around here. One of which where I remember. I think Donnie had the phrase, you know, they got the barbed wire fence, you know, along Longfield on the backstretch. And Donnie always used to say, "You know why that fence is not so, it's not built to keep people from coming in. It's to keep our folks from going out."
Exactly.
But you know, a guy like Donnie, he devoted his life to the sport. He just absolutely loved it. Served as the senior vice president of racing at Churchill Downs until his retirement in 2012. He was a jocks agent, and you know, I'm sorry to see him leave. He was always it was always good to see him.
Yeah.
When he was on the backstretch. So thoughts are with the other family and friends, and it's been a tough week. You know, losing John Ward. This is the 20th anniversary of Monarcos, and you know, there's another man who greatly served the game and loved it, and
KHRC,
you know, long time trainer, and then executive director of the KHRC, and yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of been a rough year, you know, in that respect.
This has been more on the human front. It does seem every year, if I went back and listened or looked at my listings from the shows, invariably there's been horses. There's been famous. We've lost a number of famous horses in the 2 weeks that I'm typically here. That hasn't have been the case, knock on wood, this year. But the human toll has been pronounced. Yeah. Seems like every morning or afternoon we've encountered one. So
well, they'll be in our thoughts, and they'll have a great view of the Derby on Saturday, looking down.
Well, where are you watching Derby, Davis?
Say that again.
Where are you going to watch Derby?
I don't know yet. I don't know if my friends are having people over, if I'm going to come here, and I do not. I'm coming to Oaks. I am coming to Oaks, but if I'm coming to Derby, I do not have an outfit. I went Oaks shopping because I knew I was coming to Oaks, but I'm not 100% sure if my friends are having a Derby party or not. So
all right. Well,
I don't know if I'm coming
on that. This might be a good
year.
You're
having a party. It's a Saturday.
I probably am having a party. I'm just saying if I don't go to a Derby party, then I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah. Too funny. You're coming Saturday, right?
If I don't have a party to go to, I'll be here at the track. Yes. Yes.
I gotta see if
my friends are throwing a party.
If he's not here at Derby, that man will not be here anymore. He will not be at the track.
What year is this for you? How many years are you here?
This is 14 Derby.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God.
They're like dog years, Steve.
14?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You've heard 14.
14 Derbies, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Almost my age.
Yeah, almost. Well, you grew up here. That's why the listeners know you, buddy.
Exactly.
That's why he still talks to you.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back through my listings, and I'm going to find all the pictures of Davis. It'll be like a time stamp of
time lapse.
Yeah, exactly. Showing you from
the first time he came on here, he was blonde.
Oh, yeah, I used to be a blonde, and I did not dye my hair. I did dye my hair.
It happened naturally.
It happened naturally.
I love it. That's pretty funny. I'm going to do that, and you'll get a kick out of yourself because
I've morphed, too. There's a time stamp for me, too.
Except for his has gone from gray to black. Black to gray. Sorry,
yeah, but I was
saying,
son, I've grown, too.
Well, yeah.
I've grown out.
You fluctuate, though.
I did so good a couple years ago.
Yeah,
we're going to get back on track after this derby.
Well, you had two derbies in 8 months. It's not fair.
Yeah, it's not fair. No, somebody's got to pay for it.
Well, 2022 will be, that'll be the magical. I'm impressed because you've changed, right? You've done a dietary something, right? What'd you do, you said?
Yeah, well, no, I cut out sugar.
Yeah,
and,
and
carbs, but that was a brief lapse.
All right. Well, everything
the carbs,
is
the carbs are back at the moment.
Well, you're and of course, some as Jonathan Kitchen said earlier,
it's the
adult beverages work their way into the
absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got to have a break.
Exactly.
I'm surprised Davis didn't say that his father is going to be on midnight bourbon.
No,
and bourbonic.
No, you'll be drinking bourbon at midnight.
That's true.
As long as we're not all still here waiting for the stewards to come down.
Correct. Let's have a short, quick official this year, right?
Too much fun. Now, Darren Rogers, Big D, Derby Media, everybody on your Twitter, of course, and Little D for now, the soon to be Big D, with increasing speed. Thank you, as always. Always a special visit. We look forward to it, and I know your mom put. Took a picture, so we'll put that in. That'll be in today's listing, so everybody will see how Davis Rogers has grown up. And if you don't like Davis, you don't like money. You know, that was the greatest quote ever.
I thought it wasn't it
justify.
You justify if it was.
Was that don't like justify? If you don't if like you,
justify, you don't like money.
Winning, yeah.
You don't like winning.
Was you don't it, like winning.
Well, but another time you said you turned it into money. You said if you don't like whoever it was, you don't like money.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember if you don't like justify, you don't like winning.
That's a good one. That's a good one. And
they worked out. I mean, he won the trip. You've done ground.
Absolutely. And your track record is excellent.
It's better than his father.
Yeah, no, he's had a very strong track record. And if they haven't won, they've run well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think my worst was definitely
last year. You can't remember.
Well, I meant they didn't even run last year.
Yeah, they ran, not with fans.
I didn't watch it then. That's sad. I didn't even know they ran. That's bad. That's bad. My dad works here, and I didn't know they ran.
You're not alone. Believe me, I think a lot of America was oblivious last year too.
I think it was 2018. Was my bad year. I think you finished.
I love it.
2019.
I'll pull them up.
2019 is when my.
We're not in a commercial break. We're still on the air.
Yeah, those are great. Thanks so much, boys, and too much fun. The pair, Davis and Darren Rogers,
the knuckleheads.
Yes, there we go. We'll start.
You're a knucklehead.
He promised that you would. He said, "I don't know what he's going to say."
You don't know what he's going to say.
Polished as ever. I think you were more. I think you were more unpredictable when you were a tot.
That's
when you were a little guy. I love it.
Well, I didn't know what I was saying when I was little. I was just
exactly
just getting on the mic and talking.
And that's what made it so much fun. Exactly right. Exactly right. Guys, thanks so much, and enjoy, and. And best of luck. Let's cash. All right, the Rogers team, and wish them the best as always. Let me turn our attention to the last hour. We've got Joe Clancy coming and Seth Merrill later in the hour as well. We'll get Seth's Derby thoughts. And I'm trying. You know, one thing I'm trying to do is record all of them. I will tell you something funny, and I probably should have brought it up with. I should have brought it up just now with Darren. I don't know if he had heard, you know, yesterday's reference to the Big Four that we were kidding about with Scully and with Gary Palmisano Jr. And I reached out to Alex from Form to Win, and because he's said to me several times, he said, if you want to do any kind of promotion, you want to do something fun, contest idea. And so I wrote him last night in Australia. I'll talk to him later. We're going to do the Bic Four as a contest. Obviously you can't do it paramutually, but we're going to, you know, we'll get some prize money and we'll give everybody a budget. You know, maybe, I don't know. I mean, my budget is usually 72 for my pick fours. That's what I work around. Maybe we'll do like a $96 budget or just round it up to 100. And we'll give everybody a budget. And you could either build a pick four. We'll figure out what the mechanics are. But we're going to ask you, you know, to play the 4 3-year-old races, non-Oaks, non-Derby, the Edgewood, the Eight Bells, the Pat Day Mile, and the American Turf, the Big Four, and everybody that hits it. I don't know. We'll give subscriptions away to Form to Win, and we'll probably have we'll have a money prize whatever makes sense, and we'll end up. You know, I'm sure there'll be more than one winner. Obviously, I would think. In that sequence, I think there's a couple of places to lean. Although the Eight Bells is deep. I haven't really looked at the Pat Day Mile closely yet. So I'll do a lot of that work after we get done this morning on the air. But there's going to be, the bottom line is, the Big Four is going to happen this year after all. So I'll have details tomorrow on how to play it, and we'll probably have an email address to, you know, to send the picks to, or I'll see if I can't get our web people to maybe do a, you know, selection where you can, maybe we'll just do it having people pick a horse in each race. Maybe that keeps it simpler and not to worry about the budget. All right, we'll work out the details today. I'm waiting and vamping for Joe Clancy, who joins us now. And Joe, of course, with his brother Sean and with Tom Law. This is horseracing.com, and he joins us. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm terrific. We'll look forward to seeing Tom Law. Well, I'll see Tom Law at the top of the hour at noon, because we're having the Turf Riders and Broadcasters Derby Week meeting. It's going to be a Zoom meeting, but so I'll see Tom on the Zoom, but we'll see him here tomorrow and get his thoughts. I'm so happy that you and Sean and Tom are going to be regular visitors to the show. And, you know, for those that, almost everybody, I think, has either had their hands on a copy of the Saratoga Special during summers, or if you've never been to Saratoga, you look at it online all through the Saratoga season. And, you know, then the full website, thisishorseracing.com, which really celebrates a lot of the best of the game, but also Joe, you know, never afraid to tackle tough subjects. And in fact, you know, I 3 weeks ago you wrote that piece that that really asked some hard questions about, you know, the game's future and how we as an industry work together to, you know, to answer those questions.
Yeah, I mean, I try to look at it sometimes like the outside world looks at it. We all have people who aren't horse racing people who know that we are, and they ask us these questions all the time, and, you know, to try to answer them fairly and take a critical look at the game sometimes from that perspective. Maybe we don't do it enough. That was an editorial in Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred magazine that I do monthly, and, you know, the idea is to hopefully make some people think and take steps to help things. I know it's not perfect, and you know, we got to do as well as we can on these issues and realize that people are looking at it from the outside, not unlike us, you know, and they've got questions for sure.
Joe, on that topic, and I probably have had this conversation more with Sean over the years and, you know, during some periods of rocky road in recent memory, but what in your mind exactly has changed, and what, you know, what is lacking, if you know, if that's the right term, what's lacking in the industry response to that outside, you know, the outside looking in crowd? I mean, I've opined on this myself over the years, but you know, you seem to have a very good sensitivity on this in terms of, you know, why now and what, you know, what the flashpoints have been.
Yeah, I mean, we could go all day, right? I think now in today's world, everything's a little different. Everything's much more magnified. Anybody can see a horse race, whether it's online or on any of the various television things or a clip on a social media, whatever. If something happens, more people see it. I also think racing's been sort of shouting uniformity for years, and we still can't quite get there. It's better, but it's not perfect. And to try to explain that to outside people when they watch the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NHL or the NFL. I mean, there's a player suspended, he's suspended, you know, that kind of thing. And we just sort of have these gray areas or these things that just don't, and we go, oh, well, that's a different state or that's a different this. And it just doesn't play anymore, and it shouldn't. And I think the fact that racing's got so many more connections to outside revenue from slot machines and casinos and things like that, and like it or not, states and citizens of those states consider that tax money, you know, and if it's going to an industry that doesn't quite have itself sorted out, it doesn't look very good. I mean, and again, we in racing talk about the care of horses and the beauty and the how much people care, and people really do care, and it and the horses matter and everything, but it is not always the easiest explanation to outside people who don't know that and don't see that every day.
People have heard me talk about this for 15 years, the agrarian nature, and for those that live in your region in particular, when it comes to Virginia, Maryland, for instance, the Mid-Atlantic, where there still is I think an active and vibrant community and tradition that's maintained. Obviously, South Carolina, when you get down to Aiken and Camden and so forth, and there are pockets, and in the places, I suppose, in the places that we look where the game does best, those are enclaves. I mean, is that the future, Joe? I mean, if you think about it, Saratoga and the strength there for the circuit, and obviously Kentucky, and Oaklawn is a, you're not going to have to worry about a that issue and those issues at a place like that. But I mean, is that a viable approach to basically fence off the places where we have a real firmament?
Yeah, I mean it's one approach. I think that's going to be part of it. We all know how successful racing is when it goes to some of these shorter, more traditional boutique people use meets at Saratoga and Oaklawn and the steeplechase industry that I come from. Those those one day race meets are very popular. People support them as a community event. But I still think big picture, the sport's got to we've got to figure out a way to get to a level where everything's the same, and a league is the wrong description, but where we now have Lasix rules that are different in various states, we have WHIP rules that are different in various states. We have, it's almost like it's kind of, we've got these fits and starts of steps toward uniformity, and then it kind of goes the other direction, and we all know reasons why, but again, to my neighbor who is paying attention to the Derby and Breeders' Cup and a few other things, that's a tough question to answer, and it isn't any easier than it used to be.
Well, and I do wonder, and I don't know if there's been enough, if not even enough, but even any, serious study or focus group. It might be something that the industry would do well. I mean, other than the McKinsey stuff every 10 years. Not that there haven't been some positive outcome from some of the things that they suggested in the most recent presentations, going back to the Jockey Club Roundtable close to 10 years ago. There's some things that really came out of it that were positive, including the TV exposure, and now we've got the program that NYRA has created that is basically augmenting on a year-round basis on mainstream television a signal. Not that what TVG does isn't mainstream or available, but it's a little different, given what grew out of that Jockey Club tour on Fox, which is essentially what the America's Day at the Races program has. I mean, that came out of a focus group and out of the study that McKinsey presented the Jockey Club 10 years ago. What I'm suggesting is I don't know what the actual, you mentioned the neighbors and the people that know that you're in the sport. They're going to watch Derby. They're going to watch Preakness and Belmont, particularly if there's a Triple Crown on the line. But are they alarmed by, you know, horses being urged with a crop? You know, are they aghast at horses that receive a minimal dose of Lasix to inhibit them, you know, suffering EIPH? I'd really, instead of these, you know, demands and these exhortations that we're told, how about we have some actual data telling us what the public really thinks?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're as alarmed as we think about those things. I think they want, you know, they want to know we're treating the animals right. They want to know that we have things in place. I mean, the whip rule to me, yes, it's very public, and people, you know, they don't like it. You know, they don't want to see they don't want to see it abused. They don't want to see it, you know, overused. But I think they want to, you know, they want it to be. I gotta keep going back to it. They want it to be the same. You know, they want it to be. They want to know there's somebody paying attention to it. They want to. I go back to professional sports leagues, and you know, the officials, whether they're on the field or the ice or what, or the court, or they're in the league office, have some judgment to do things. And we kind of, we skip that step. You know, I think if empower, as far as the whip rule goes, we could have empowered stewards to use some judgment and enforce whip rules, you know, and fine jockeys or suspend jockeys for overuse. We know we're in the industry. You see it, you know it when you see it. And we've gone past that, you know, and now we're trying to legislate, you know, we're trying to rule it on these other types of ways or definitions, or you know, and I think that's just created more chaos when we're supposed to be trying to tell people we're working toward uniformity and working toward across the board regulations, whether you're racing in Delaware, you're racing in New York, you're racing in California, you're racing in New Jersey, Texas, wherever, it ought to be the same. You know, it's just in today's world, it really ought to be the same.
Joe Clancy with us. This is horseracing.com, and of course the Saratoga special. Yeah, this is the showcase event. I mean, as much as Breeders' Cup is a celebration for the industry and you know, for the breeding community, sales community, ownership and horse playing communities, it's very much a house event. This is the external event that kicks off the biggest 5 weeks of the sport. It's presented as an asset, and it cuts across, Joe, such a swath of interest levels, including the, some of the things that we kind of roll our eyes at as, you know, 365 arbiters and players and the hats and the juleps and the, you know, some of that, you know, the social media portion that gets trumpeted and NBC, you know, they're trying to appeal to a wide audience. I mean, you and Sean and Tom, you know, present a product in the Saratoga special that actually has to cater to a wide array, although it's very equine lifestyle centric. What's the asset, most marketable and, you know, how do we take best advantage of these next 5 weeks?
the sell the horses to me. I mean, I think you've got to sell the horses stories, and that's what people I know will want to know more about. And maybe part of that, the way I came into this is from growing up with horses, working in the barn of my father's horses and just being that close to them. I think anytime you can bring people up close to the horses, to the players in the game, you know, I think it's great. And we don't, we actually do a much better job than we used to in terms of racing, selling that. I think you see it during these 5 weeks for sure. The TV coverage and the background they give on horses and the breeding and the mares and the foals and all that coming up. I think that's what you sell. You know, the behind all that is why the importance of the various rules and things are so matter so much.
The underpinning.
their animals. Yeah, people, the more you can make people understand the animal growing up and turning into this racehorse, the better. And I think that's, you know, it always works, put it that way.
Talk about Derby for you and your history with the event and you know what you enjoy about it and I'm just thinking, I always kid you and Sean when it comes to the fall and Far Hills, where you know Sean has to, you know, Sean seems to be the you know he's going to be at Far Hills and you're going to be at Laurel. Is that Maryland Million weekend or
usually Maryland Million weekend?
Right, yeah. And so you guys have to split up the coverage. But what's your Derby history? I'm trying to think, Joe. When I've seen you here,
all right, I'm going to sit down on the couch and admit that I've never been to a Kentucky Derby. Sorry,
unbelievable.
World.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, truly unbelievable. You're right. And it probably grows out of, you know, from the work side. Like you just said, there was always somewhere else to be, you know, from my career in writing about it. We had a newspaper, Steeplechase Times. I was usually at a steeplechase meet that day, the Virginia Gold Cup. And then Sean sort of, once he stopped riding, he got a couple gigs covering the Derby for Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred and then working some radio shows and doing a little bit of Backstretch magazine, right?
Yep.
And just some other different things. And then Tom Law joined the team, and he's you know, a Saratogian, but also a Kentuckian, so he started making the trips. It just seems to work out that way. I'll get there, don't worry. one of these years, I'm going to get there.
Well, from a handicapping enjoyment standpoint, what's your Derby record? What's your greatest Derby triumph?
I worked for a daily newspaper in little tiny daily newspaper in Cecil County, Maryland, the Cecil Whig, and I tried to bring in some horse racing coverage and going back to the earliest that would have been early 90s and trying to blow I think I picked Hansel for the Derby, but I stuck with him for the Preakness, which worked. Lately, I think it's fun from my side. I love it when you see a trainer go to the Derby who doesn't always go. You know, we've seen it when Barkley Tag shows up with a horse, you know, like Funny Side, when, you know, Art Sherman comes in with California Chrome, when, you know, Shug goes in with Orb. I mean, those are – I remember telling my the guys at the post office in Newark, Delaware, that – Michael Matz wasn't going to Derby just for the parties with Barbaro, and they're like, who, what, you know, so those kinds of things, I think, stick out, for the race for sure. And then just as, you know, us growing up as kids, we were probably at a steeplechase meet, but we had to throw your $5 in the hat and pull a name out, you know, and that was always a tradition growing up. We did that for every Triple Crown race.
I like it. That's fun, actually. That's like they do in Australia with the Melbourne Cup parties. Same concept. They even, the newspapers will even publish like pages with, you know, with cut out, you can cut out little tabs of, you know, of the various horses. What storylines in this Derby have you, you know, kind of tapped into, Joe? What caught your interest?
I mean, the race is, and it's like this every year. It's why we like it. The angles and the horses come from so many different directions. You know, that's what makes it fun. I mean, you've got 20 of them, and they're coming just from everywhere. And Essential Quality, to me, is a very deserving favorite. Was doing a little bit of just diving back into it, and you see his pedigree going back to, you know, the horses that Carl Nasker trained for Francis Genner and Scotty Schulhofer trained, and, you know, that part, the connection of the game. And, you know, he deserves to be the favorite based on what he's done, you know, and I don't, you know, again, I'm not there. I would love to see him gallop by and tell you what he looked like, but I haven't seen it. So I've seen a little bit of video. John Sadler's horse, Rocky World, you know, there's a guy who doesn't go to the Derby either very often. So to me, that's an angle that I would pay attention to. And Ron McAnally as a breeder, how cool would it be for him to win a Derby as a breeder? Mm. You know, you're gonna get bigger prices on some horses like, you know, Medina Spirit for Bob Baffert at 15-1 morning line. And then you just look at horses that are improving, like King Fury to me is improving, and Dynamic One for Pletcher would be a huge price, wouldn't he? And he
yep.
could step forward, I think, off that race. This is the fun of the Derby. You've got 20 of them, and there's a case to be made for pretty much all of them, and they all kind of come at it from different directions and different angles. And, I like a horse that's, you know, there's a few that haven't won yet this year that kind of worries me a little bit. Again, it's fun to go through. I think Todd Pletcher's other horse, Known Agenda, certainly belongs. Another one kind of, you just see it, a trend or an improvement in some of those horses.
From a pedigree standpoint, what's your preferred, you know, Derby angle when you're looking for, you know, the one thing that has disappeared is, you know, the terminology. Oh, is he going to get the 10 furlongs? They're all going to get the 10 furlongs. You know, a few will be slowing down less than others. What's your pedigree approach when you're trying to evaluate a Derby horse?
Yeah, I think I probably go back to that too much still, you know, because it's just in the back of your head. We all did that, you know? So I probably still look at that a little bit, you know, when you see horses out of, you know, out of Empire Maker mares and out of Smart Strike mares and just, you know, things, the horses that you know are going to get the, and not even just get it, when you just said it, they're all going to get it. Some are going to get it faster than others. But I think the horses that want it, you know, I think is probably the thing that I look at. Again, it sometimes goes out the window because you just see horses kind of blaze away and hang on, you know. But I still think I lean on that probably a little too much. But I still think it matters. I think they've got to be relishing the idea of going that far, you know, and being fast enough in the stretch. I mean, and that's what Dynamic One. I mean, his pedigree certainly caught my eye. I mean, he's a Phipps bred. It's certainly plenty of stamina back there, you know, and I still think it matters, even though we see horses that kind of go the other way, do it the other direction these days. I mean, and again, if they get to the Derby, chances are their pedigree is pretty good if they've made it this far.
Well, there's always, you know, we had Sid earlier, and you know, when we looked at the horses that he ended up, you know, featuring he talked about Bourbonic, and, you know, here's a Bernardini out of an Afleet Alex mare. You know, the one thing that is going to be interesting, it's the first the Derby following you know, the breakthrough for Into Mischief. And, you know, he's already, I think, thought of as a, you know, as almost, you know, an omnipotent type, you know, sire. And, you know, for during his ascent, the question was, well, is he a horse that, you know, can get a, is going to get, you know, classic distance runners. And, you know, so over the years, Joe, it seems that when that happens, when they do, you know, sire one, it's as if, well, okay, we know we can, but you also have to wonder, and this has not been discussed. There's two things I'll bring up on this front. He got a Derby winner, that was running in September. And so on the development curve and the way horses mature, there's no guarantee that his get the first Saturday in May, you know, 120 days earlier, are in the same development arc as that one was in September. And it does, people say, oh, how much difference can it make? It makes a world of difference. These 3-year-olds develop at a fairly set pattern of progress and maturity. And that goes, you know, until they're 5. That topic. And then, Joe, one thing that has not been brought up similarly this week is this no Lasix question and understanding, you know, how that, you know, fits in. The number of these horses that, you know, seemingly have performed and gotten through all right without Lasix. But we don't necessarily know that for sure. I mean, Sainthood is running second time without. I think that that's a big part of this, and I haven't seen much discussion of it.
Yeah, I was looking at that a little bit this morning too, and to me, the horses that have not used it at all, to me, you know, would be in their races, would certainly make me look at them a little harder or a little different. Again, this goes back to we've created sort of this, we've muddied the water, and I think the future of racing is probably anti-Lasix someday, and there won't be any, but in the meantime, we've got. We're trying to decipher all this stuff, factoring it in and using it as part of the equation. You know, it's another variable, put it that way, to consider. And, you know, and I'm kind of with you, looking at a year ago, people would have told you Into Mischief's, well, he's got to prove it, you know, well then, so, you know, he gets a Derby winner and in September, and now it's, now the likelihood is that, oh, it's fine. Maybe it's not. We don't know. I think his horses over the next few years, you know, the crop of mares that got to him only improved, you know. So I think that part, they're better and better and better as they keep coming, you know. So I think that part will probably shake itself out anyway. He's proven himself to be that good of a sire and that versatile of a sire. And, you know, I think it'll probably we won't even come up anymore, but it is something to kind of file in the back of your mind a little bit and use as you see fit.
And the horses, there's 6 horses at a glance that are running second time without after having used. And that includes Bourbonic, coming off the woodwind, had run on it in January and February. In the allowance races, Soup and Sandwich in his debut in January and in his second start at Tampa, and then came off for the Florida Derby. Helium as well, same pattern for Cassie, for both Cassie horses making their 4th start. By the way, Helium, I haven't heard Helium's name mentioned not once. I talked to Mark Cassie actually the other morning, so I heard him mention it. But I will tell you that Helium makes a nice impression out there and is very much light on his feet, and I think this horse is being thoroughly ignored because of the Tampa layoff question and the unusual approach. But from looking at him, I mean, is he going to be ready enough with a series of 5 furlong works and gallop outs? I will see. But he certainly looks good out there motoring around. Dynamic One is another of the 6 that had Lasix starts. That was in on his way to his graduation. And then in the wood came off Lasix, as did Sainthood, very similar. First 2 starts, including the Maiden Breaker, and then the Ruby off Lasix, of course, in the points races. Same thing for Known Agenda, who ran in that mile and the 8th try allowance win when he sort of reset after the Sam Davis, which everybody thought was a bomb effort, laid an egg at 3-2. I didn't think he ran that badly. He struggled with some kickback, and Tampa's a weird shifting sand joint, and then once he started to run, he came running. So I don't hold that Sam Davis against them the way some people do. So those are the six horses that had Lasix. The other 14, I mean, there's a couple like the King, whose first two starts at two were on Lasix, but otherwise pretty much everybody else was running without it. Their whole, you know, their starts at three.
Yeah, again, this is why you just went through it. The horses come from everywhere and every angle, and it does. It just gives you the complexity. It lets you know again how complex this is, and trying to figure it out. You know, but I guess that's why we like it. That's why we're here. I kind of agree with you. I mean, I think, you know, the Helium is probably a little overlooked, but you know, again, it's just who he's up against. And I would always, to me, Known Agenda, the Sam Davis, I would forgive almost any horse one race, you know, and he obviously came back, even if that wasn't his best, he came back and ran so well the next two times that he's shown you his quality. And then he's got everybody, we'll hear about the inside post a lot, but I think it's different this year and with the new gate and, again, a horse who got some experience doing different things that, you know, like he took some kickback in Tampa. Obviously, he's learned it a little bit, and you know, if he should be able to work out a trip from there, and it's not nearly as big a disadvantage as it used to be.
Speaking of Known Agenda, he also has something. Joe Clancy with us. This is horseracing.com, and of course, the Saratoga special. And Known Agenda has something going for him that I historically have. I haven't made, you know, huge deal of it, but just, you know, from a personal standpoint, I've kind of watched for. He's run four times in his six career starts. He's run four races at a mile and an eighth already, and it's a valuable when it comes to the old rules about this race, and I'm glad we're going in this direction, Joe, because I can bring up something that I've referenced for years and years. When I was driving out, when I was leaving Derby on a Sunday years ago, I don't think I was on the radio yet, and I think I was still, you know, doing the barbecue. It was the reason for being here, and I was listening to a Louisville station, and they were recapping. And a DJ said that, you know, he had an old uncle or an old, maybe his grandfather, you know, an old timer that had rules for the Triple Crown. And it was that the fittest wins the Derby, the fastest wins the Preakness, and the best, quote unquote, wins the Belmont. And it stayed with me for a long time. And the fittest aspect is you know, always a foundation for me, you know, coming into this. And I, one of the reasons that I, you know, very regularly stress the Baffert Derby horses is because they're the only ones that are working a mile every single outing. I mean, they might publish a 5-furlong work, but the horse then goes a 6th, 7th, and 8th furlong before the rider lets up. I mean, if there's an Alan Jerkins in this era, it's Baffert. Nobody leans on him. He's not afraid, and he's not afraid for them to go to the sidelines. This year, he ends up, you know, only one made the gauntlet, but he leans on these horses to get them here, and when they're here, they're fit. So a horse that's run four times at 9 furlongs, that's a foundation.
Yeah, for sure. And again, we're leaning on the old school stuff a little bit, but I think it matters. We all know this is going to be the most difficult race these horses have faced in terms of distance, field, atmosphere, and everything else, quality. You know, I think that, any prep like that is going to serve a horse well coming into this, you know, and it certainly matters.
So final, here, let me write them down. The Joe Clancy, the final analysis, and you can text me, you know, up until about, let's say until 3 o'clock on Saturday, if you got any changes. But give us your four horse, whether it's a four horse box or whatever, however you want to approach it.
I'm gonna go, and yeah, on Wednesday we'll say we're gonna box them. I'm gonna go Rock Your World, Essential Quality, Known Agenda, Dynamic One.
I run it down again. I was just sending something to Casey. I'm sorry.
We'll say Rock Your World coming in, we'll put him on. We'll say he's the first pick, but I would say I think you got to box up. It's all over the place. I know my mechanic in Fairhill, Maryland, hits me up to try to figure out who to go bet at Delaware Park every year, and he manages to mess it up just about every year when I try to. And I'm like, he'll just take a picture of the ticket and say, "Did I win?" And you know, I'm like, "No, you didn't box it." my four will be Rocky World, Essential Quality, Known Agenda, and Dynamic One.
Nice. Very nice. I like
it. We'll see what happens between now and Saturday. It could change again.
anything else, any Oaks of thoughts or anything else on the card that you know you're excited about?
No, I went through it real quickly. And, the Oaks is tough. I think maybe Steve Asmussen, Philly Clairiere, if I'm saying that correctly, she might get the trip and be able to come running behind some of those horses. I really like Colonel Liam. I just think that's a cool horse in the Turf Classic. And then Annex in the American Turf is a fun horse to watch too. So I don't think anybody's a big price, but hey. And we got a couple regional horses going. Fire, the Maryland bred, runs in the Turf Sprint. Be interesting to see how he does. For Rob Mattiello, I mean, he reached in and spent a fair amount of money to buy that horse out of Maryland and has done really well with him. And then there's a couple of Virginia Breds, Class, Chess Chief, and Attachment Rate run in the Ali Sheba. I think Chess Chief is a horse who's probably getting better and could be a factor in a race like that for sure.
Joe Clancy, everybody, and first opportunity for Joe to join us, and Sean and Joe and Tom Law. We'll talk to Tom tomorrow here live. They are going to cycle through and alternate and talk topics of the day. And also we'll give me somebody, Joe, you give me, both you and Sean, give me somebody other than Bill Gallo as an option to talk during the chase season as well, which we're pretty much done with timber. How much is the timber season done?
There's a little bit, but nothing like the three races we've had. There's a big hurdle stake Saturday at Middleburg. Snap Decision comes out for a seasonal debut, and Jack Fisher also runs Footpad, the good horse they brought over from England a couple of years ago. So it should be a pretty good race.
Excellent. And congratulations to Sean on the win. They had the win last week, right?
Yes. Gostis Bear, named after the hockey player, managed to get it done at Charlotte Saturday. And the River D horses are off to a pretty good start.
Very nice. Off to a good start with our regular visits with Joe Clancy. Everybody, Joe, enjoy it. And we'll do some recapping when we talk next.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Joe Clancy, everybody. And Joe is, if you're not following Joe, you should. And, of course, it's Joe Clancy 65. Joe Clancy 65. Plus you know, I think, Sean, you're probably already following Sean by Sean Clancy. And tomorrow, Tom Law, which is Saratoga TL. Saratoga TL, Tom Law. We'll stay right here. Speaking of Saratoga, we'll head to the vicinity and Seth Merrow for his Derby insights. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. It's Derby time. It's exciting. If folks are in, oh, no, wait, hold on. I was about to say, if folks are in the Albany area, we've got the OTB Derby seminar tonight, but it dawned on me, it's all virtual this year. So no matter where you are, go to the Capital OTB social media platform. So air it live on the Capital OTV YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, 7 o'clock tonight. So it's Derby time.
Who's involved? Who's hosting, and who were featured?
It is myself, Brian Addo, who you may have seen down at the Church Hill,
he's here.
Part of the Notes team this week, and Mike Callahan.
Who?
Mike Callahan.
Oh, Mike Callahan. Okay.
Yeah, from OTV. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
Well, the two of us are in the studio. Brian will be on, obviously, via Zoom.
Well, when you send out a link, and I will recirculate it, because you bring up a great point that a much wider audience could take it in and enjoy it. It's not not just for people coming to the museum. It's for people everywhere, worldwide, listening to us now. Seth, let's dive in and get some thoughts, and we'll start with Derby, and we'll work our way around to things like, you know, your approach and what you're going to, what pools you're going to be involved in this year and similar, but get started. What are your Derby thoughts heading in here 3 days out?
First, I must mention, you know, given our conversation from 4 weeks ago or so, and I like the horse already as a long shot to play a few bucks on, but Hidden Stash, Jim Boeheim owns a little piece of Hidden Stash. So as a Syracuse alum, I will have a little on Hidden Stash. Well, I said I kind of found interesting regardless, and I was going to play around with that horse maybe in some exactas or whatnot. But again, that's just one of the side stories that's kind of fun. The story of Asmussen and the family being involved in Superstock, and you having the horse aimed for a sale, and the pandemic cancels the sale, so they wind up keeping the horse, win $1 million grade one down at Oak Lawn. That's kind of a fun story as well. But the story of the whole season has been essential quality has been the only real consistent runner, and consistently he's undefeated. But otherwise, the season has played out really like the past three seasons have played out, where some horse comes to the forefront and does well in an early prep race and then just can't validate that in the next round, and it just seemed to play out that way throughout the season. So we now come into it with essential quality, again, being the horse, the one that has the consistency. But I'm going to be really interested to see what the final odds are and where the betting public goes, because I don't get the feeling people are super convinced on essential quality, and I am taking a little shot against. I'm going to go with Mandaloon, who I thought I liked down at the fairgrounds in that series. And it's tough to pull the trigger on a horse that ran sixth in his final prep, but it seems like the workout reports have been good. I'm going to hope there's a rebound there, and Mandaloon at a price can get it done. Open essential quality in the second spot. Rocky World may be a special horse. So I put him down in the third spot, undefeated, and took to the dirt last time. He's going to have to be special to win the Derby and only his third career start. But, you know, again, it's that kind of a year. He may be that kind of a horse. And Known Agenda's in my mix of Midnight Bourbon as well in underneath spots. But I heard you talking earlier about Helium. I'll have a various number of tickets, but Helium will be in the mix somewhere. Soup and Sandwich, I thought was interesting. I could point to a couple others. You know, you guys mentioned Dynamic One, who could be a little bit of an interesting player as well. King Fury, I'll have a little money on that. Now, I should also mention in a couple of the future pools, I was just double checking this morning. I played all others in pool 3 and pool 4. So with the all others, I'll have about 14 horses in the gate live with the all others ticket that could back me up on the day. That'll allow me to take a couple little interesting shots. But again, I'm going to take a little pop with Mandaloon and see if that one can rebound at the Derby.
Well, and you've always done that, and you know, you've always been one of our favorite conversations when it comes to future wagers, because you do get to this to this point, and you know, you know, you're not necessarily assured of profiting per se, but you're pretty well assured of cashing something, and it's an interesting approach, and you're not alone. I didn't really have the usual discussion with Darren. Actually, the past couple of years, we used to talk about the what they called around here, John Asher, the plunger, the future wager plunger, somebody that was the biggest, you know, the biggest better into the future wager, and he would get to to Derby and have you know, basically be assured of a profit somehow through the way he used all those. It was pretty funny. I haven't heard that. Haven't heard about the plunger in a while.
No, you're right. When you brought that up, I had forgotten all about that. You're right.
Yeah, it's a I actually started to print. I'm glad you said this, because I'm going to put down FW, because I started to accrue all the future wager information. I like to have it in my binder for Saturday night, so that, you know, I write it, you know, pretty quickly. I've got the numbers. I put it out for people right away. I'm going to pin you down on a fourth horse. Mandaloon, Essential Quality, Rock Your World, and?
I went Midnight Bourbon fourth and Known Agenda fifth. Those are kind of interchangeable to me. But technically, I have Midnight Bourbon in the fourth spot.
All right, I'll allow you to a super high five. That ticket is fine.
You asked about my approach. I think I've said this in years before. I'm an exacta player. I'll box them up. I'll go four deep in a 10 or 11 horse field on a normal day. I think when you get 20 horses, you can go 5D. I mean, for a buck, that's $30. And, you know, in the Derby, particularly this year where it's kind of wide open, particularly if you get past Essential Quality, I think you can do all right if you even go a little deep on an exacta. It's just particularly, you know, you look at the morning line, Midnight Bourbon's 20-1. Mandaloon himself is 15-1. So I think you can take a little pop, maybe a little deeper on an exacta box.
How about before I ask about some other elements? Oaks.
Oaks. Malathat, who I like to begin with, but it seems like and you've been down there, you can verify, but it seems like all the reports of Malathat has just looked really good on the track in the morning. And so I like Malathat to begin with. That just kind of validated. I'm just flipping through my PPs here, and I'll talk about some of the others as well. Where are we here with the – what number race is the – is it – yeah, okay, I got it.
11.
Yeah, I have Malathat on top. Second spot, I put Search Results. I'm not sure about Search Results, but 3 for 3 and the Gazelle win looked pretty good, so I had to put that one in. And then to me, the two horses who were kind of at the top of the division all spring long, maybe until that Ashland with Malathat, were Travel Column and Clairiere. I put Clairiere in the third spot and Travel Column in the fourth spot, and I wasn't quite sure, except I've been kind of married to Clairiere. I've liked her. I was on TV the day she won, broke the maiden at Churchill. I've kind of liked her since then, so I've used her in virtually every race since, including the second-place finish to Travel Column last time. So I put her in the third spot. Now I've had Malathat, Search Results, Clairiere, and Travel Column.
Nice.
To
All
me,
right,
that,
good.
Between the two, that is maybe the more interesting race because, as I said, there was inconsistency with the boys. I think four or five of these fillies are coming in just in good form and really look to be having a legitimate claim to the top of the class with a win on Friday.
I said this earlier to Jonathan Kinchin and Jake Ballas, Jake's involved with Randy Hill and Pass the Champagne, but it's you know, for those that use Thoroughgraph is my premium speed figure of choice. For those that use, and I imagine that the other prominent fig makers are seeing it similarly. This group, literally top to bottom, is separated by about 3 lengths.
Yeah.
I mean, they're as opposed to the boys' race, where Essential Quality is your clear. You know, from a fig standpoint, I mean, who has run fastest on figs? It's Essential Quality. It's not even a debate. And then you got Highly Motivated and Known Agenda and actually Soup and Sandwich right there, as well as then Obesos and Dynamic One and Rock Your World. But when it comes to the fillies, the top, literally the top eight are within 2 lengths of each other on figs.
Yeah, and it's kind of been that way through their entire prep season, where it seems like they've been kind of solid, and the horses that have run well have continued to run well. And so, as I say, I think the Friday race just may be a little bit more interesting from that standpoint, just to see how it all shakes out.
Well, for those of you that love Seth. Here's your a $20. You get basically a $20 double. You can go Malathat search results, Clarier, and travel column with Mandaloon Essential Quality. Rock your world. Midnight bourbon and known agenda. That'd be you know what? You could do worse than that. There's some nice combinations in there. All right, Seth. Let's turn our attention maybe to some other storylines and the other portions of Derby Oaks that that you've been tracking in. What from a outside looking in at the way this has come together. It certainly has more energy, and it's a much more familiar environment around here than last year, obviously. I mean, just having it in September was goofy enough. But there's been a nice smattering of people on the grounds. That includes in the morning for the sessions and the opening night. They had a nice crowd here Saturday night, and even yesterday there was a nice crowd. What do you see from afar?
Well, on TV over the weekend, I had some folks on from Louisville, and I was asking about just that. It seems like, yeah, there was a good crowd on Saturday night, young crowd dressed up and ready to go. That was good to hear. It's good to hear that, as you say, it's back the first Saturday in May. Seems like there's a little buzz in the air, just nationally, but also it seems, sounds like locally there as well, as usual. One of the funny things is, and it's completely understandable because it really, the Derby plays out that way overall. We're so plugged into the Derby, really, from January 1st. It's different than almost any, it is different than any other race with the focus we put on it and the time frame that we jump in. But also, more than any other race, it gets a real focus to 2 weeks, the workouts in the morning. And so it's been fun to kind of watch and see what the workouts are and read the workout reports. I see you've been on track in the mornings tweeting out some videos and things, and it just gets far, far more focus than workouts any other time. We all look at the workouts on the bottom of the page and the PPs certainly, but nothing like the focus that these workouts get. So that's a little bit different. As I say, it's kind of fun. It builds up the anticipation. And because of that, it's going to be a great weekend of racing with people kind of ready, raring to go. The draw Tuesday, the PP's Tuesday night. So everybody has time to really go over things, load up the holster, take the rubber band off the bankroll and get going. I will ask you, because I got word this morning from a couple people, you're there. What's the weather? Does the weather look a little dicey?
No, just we're going to get some rain this afternoon and into the evening and through tomorrow, and then it'll be over.
Okay. So yeah. By the weekend we'll be
great. No, it's going to be, yeah, Thursday. Friday's going to be great, and it actually, in a lot of ways, it's not going to be 70s and partly cloudy, and it should be ideal.
Yeah, very good, because the turf races are really good, too. As always, Oaks Derby weekend, it's not just the Oaks and the Derby. Everybody lines up with their horses in the various divisions, because pretty much every division has some kind of race over those 2 days. The undercards both days are really spectacular as well.
One thing I did not get, I mean, today has been basically, we broke from the gate and we broke running and we rifled through. And I'm going to ask Seth for organize yourself for a second, Seth, for some opinions for today, if you got anything. I will quickly mention I talked about the yesterday's action and that Chubb Wagon, looked like loose on the lead and won at 1-2, as we kind of expected. In the Paige McKinney, we actually had a little score yesterday. I was shocked that, wait for it, the Eddie Coletti Uptown Charlie Brown 6-year-old, somehow that horse was 8-1, which was a very, very pleasant number. And I told you that Admiral Abe had to get the lead to win. That's the only way that horse can win. He could not get the lead or maintain it anyway, and ends up off the board as the second choice under 3-1. That was key to getting something done in the Paige McKinney. And then here at Churchill, the upsetter, that first time North America from yeesh. And I love Paulo Lobo ever since Farda Amiga, who I was one of my absolute favorites. And Paulo Lobo puts over Vespa, first time North America, 32-1, nipping a desperate photo with that horse that Scully gave you. Scully gave you Social Dilemma, who looked like a winner at 15-1. Sir Alfred James came through, and second choice, but it was 3-1. That Lone Rock overpowered the Isaac Murphy, as sort of expected. And then how about Samantha Siegel? Congratulations to Sam and to Paul McGee. As Marty says, I love when that happens. They win the nightcap with Chantry Flats, who refused to get headed in the stretch. So fun day of racing yesterday. Seth, give them a winner or two today.
I haven't looked at Churchill yet because I didn't do it for the sheet, but I'll have that when I'm on TV a little bit later. But okay. I'll give you one on at Oaklawn today because I tossed this out on the podcast this morning. Eighth race at Oaklawn. Again, it's one of those 11-horse fields where I have a couple logicals but a couple prices. So I'll go four deep on an exacta. The eighth at Oaklawn, I went 6, 7, 4, and 11. And I just, while you were talking, I pulled up the scratches and we're still all in that race. But the 6 and the 7 are both logical. Bye Bye Jay and Hillary G coming out of some nice races that make them logicals in here. And so we'll put them in and hope one or the other of the 4 or the 11 can get in. I almost would have gotten away with going 3 deep because the 11 is coming off a layup, but they're 2 10-to-1 shots. If we can get one of those in the mix, I think Hissy Missy comes in off a good race that says she might be better than that 10-to-1 morning line price. So we have to keep our fingers crossed a little bit that holds up. And Princess Lilybug hasn't been seen since Indiana Grand in September. But if this horse comes back ready to run, you got a 10-to-1 price there, so I didn't want to leave that one out. So again, a couple logicals, a couple longer prices. We'll hope one of the longer prices can get in the mix. The 8th at Oaklawn, 6, 7, 4, and 11.
6, 7, 4, 11. This is Archie Bread allowance. Archie Bread's running for $106,000. Yowza! Well, this was a rocket sled on rails today. Seth, thank you. Good luck. We'll talk. I guess we'll talk Sunday. Are you having me on or not?
Yeah. Sure. We'll have boots on the ground, baby.
Boots on the ground! Parakeet in the cage! Nature or nurture, it's all happening. The face of GoTV, everybody. Seth Merrow. I want to thank Seth, Joe Clancy, Davis, and Darren Rogers for their visit. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale, Sid Fernando. How about Jonathan Kinchin and Jake Ballas starting us off, and the one and only Dale Romans as well. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. If you missed anything, archive, podcast as soon as Casey can post it up. And we will be with you tomorrow. 6 hours left of analysis, coverage, and confusion, maybe. No, we want you to be clear-headed. Good luck today. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.